This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have a special feature on the Tower of Babel.
Why is it such a popular subject?
And what significance does it have for us today?
Stay with us and find out.
Plus, we have much more in store. Good morning and happy Wednesday, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. It's a brand new day and a new opportunity to start fresh. You know, yesterday's gone and a new day is now here.
That's right. Lamentations 3 verse 23 says, "The mercies of the Lord are new every morning." Mm. And it's a brand new day to experience those mercies of Jesus today.
Amen. And talking about peace, on today's program, Taylor Fayou will share a musical message on how we can experience God's peace each and every day. Plus, we're going to have a health segment on diabetes. So right now, let's take a look back at this day in history.
On November 30, 1939, the Red Army crossed the Soviet-Finnish border with 465,000 men and 1,000 aircraft. Helsinki was bombed and 61 Finns were killed in an air raid that steeled the Finns for resistance, not capitulation. The overwhelming forces arrayed against Finland convinced most Western nations, as well as the Soviets themselves, that the invasion of Finland would be a cakewalk. The Soviet soldiers even wore summer uniforms despite the onset of the Scandinavian winter. However, Helsinki spurred Finns' resistance. It was quite a surprise. The Soviets were expecting to come in full force and have an immediate surrender from Finland, but they didn't. Though Finland lost in the end, they didn't give in so quickly. They put up a fight.
You know, in our spiritual walk with Jesus, it is true that oftentimes the enemy comes in like a flood. You know, he overwhelms us. He goes full force and he tries to ruin and destroy us. He seeks our surrender to him instead of Jesus. But friend, put up a fight. When the enemy comes in like a flood, cry out to the one who shed his own blood. You know, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19 promises, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." Cry out to God. He will fight for you. And the beautiful thing is that with God on your side, you can never lose.
Amen. Praise the Lord for those wonderful words this morning. Are you or anyone you know struggling with diabetes? Maybe you're at risk. Well, our friends from the Loma Linda University Health Live It program are here to show us a simple and effective way to reduce our risk of type 2 diabetes.
Whether it's a Zumba class, kickboxing, or going outside for a jog, aerobic exercise has several health benefits, including reducing the risk of diabetes.
Obesity affects one-third of the adult population in the United States and can lead to a host of health problems, including diabetes type 2.
Dr. David Hessinger and his colleagues studied a local running club during their 6-month-long marathon training program. What they found is in the untrained group of both males and females, there was an increase in a protein called adiponectin. So, there's good news. If you're middle-aged and overweight, you can reduce your risk of diabetes by simply exercising.
That pretty much agreed with what was already there in the literature. The difference for us was twofold. One, we used middle-aged subjects instead of college age. And two, most of the studies in the literature were done with athletes. What we found is over the course of that 6 months, there was this progressive increase.
What are the tips for today? Incorporate aerobic exercise like running, walking, or biking at least 5 times a week for 30 minutes.
What we eat is important as well.
Make a conscious effort to limit rich desserts and fast foods, and go for a more balanced, natural diet with fiber.
Because fiber is one of those things that if it's plentiful in the diet, we don't absorb as many of the calories, and we certainly don't absorb them as quickly. So you don't get that insulin spike.
There are also additional benefits to aerobic exercise.
It makes you feel good when you're finished. It feels very good when you stop. It's related to the endorphins that are produced naturally in response to the continued challenge you put on the body. I think walking even is a good exercise. It's aerobic. Almost everybody can do that.
There's your tip for the day
on how you can live healthier longer.
The root of so many languages in the world today is traced back to the famous Tower of Babel, found in the book of Genesis. But besides that, why is the Tower of Babel such a popular subject, and is it still significant for us today? We'll find out on today's episode of Masterstroke.
One of the most popular painting subjects is the Tower of Babel. There's literally hundreds of them. Two of the most prolific artists on this subject are the brothers Lucas and Martin van Valkenburg. This Tower of Babel was painted by Martin around the year 1600. It tells the story of the descendants of Noah living in Babel. They tried to protect themselves from a future flood by building a giant tower. It was built layer upon layer. The aim was to build a stairway to heaven. By their own efforts, they would save themselves from death. Not even God could kill them. We have King Nimrod down the front with his subjects on bended knee worshipping him. Now, Nimrod, of course, was the great-grandson of Noah. He knew about the flood, all right. So he decided to protect himself. But there was a problem. God saw what they were doing, and God decided to step in. The Bible says God confused their language and they couldn't understand each other. One guy wanted a few mud bricks, and all he could do was start babbling out some language he'd never heard of before. As you can see from this painting, the tower was never finished, and the people scattered to all parts of the earth. So what can we learn from this painting? First and foremost, you can never save yourself by your own works. Instead of trusting God to save them from a future flood, they chose to build this tower so by their own works they could save themselves. Sometimes we're not much better. We think we can be saved and reach heaven by what we do. But the Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." As I look into this painting, I see the foolishness of man. I see the foolishness of myself. I can't outsmart God. I can't add to God. But I can trust God. And that's the message I get from the Tower of Babel.
Are you enjoying today's program, friends? Don't forget to share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more.
And search for us on our YouTube channel and check it out so you can keep up with us. So when we return, Hope Harmonies will present a message in song. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we believe our program will fill your day with happiness and love.
Are you seeking peace and healing? In a world full of sickness and pain, God has a promise in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Enjoy it now in this uplifting musical, Message, by Hope Harmony's Taylor Fayou.
Thank you.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share with a friend. They can visit us at our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. Stay with us. Pastor John Bradshaw from It Is Written will be with us sharing our devotional thought today.
But first, the doctor is in to talk about the benefits of sunshine.
Oh, I love the warm embrace of that sunshine. It's so comforting on my face.
Yeah, but you know, it's more than just comforting. Sunshine converts cholesterol to vitamin D in our skin. And vitamin D is important in preventing a number of serious illnesses like cancer and diabetes. In fact, if you have enough vitamin D, then you're 40% less likely to have diabetes.
And vitamin D also boosts our calcium absorption into our system, therefore strengthening our bones so we can resist osteoporosis, bone disease, and fractures as well.
That's true. And dark-skinned people like me, though, are more likely to be vitamin D deficient than fair-skinned people like yourself.
Is that right? So do people like yourself need more sunshine?
Yep. As much as 5 times more.
Wow, aren't you afraid of burning if you get that much?
Well, I'm more concerned that people don't get enough sunshine than getting too much. And besides, us darkies, we don't burn as quickly as you whiteies. But yeah, you shouldn't burn.
Well, I've also heard that vitamin D boosts our immunity.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Our T cells, which are the first line of defense for our immune system, absolutely need vitamin D to function.
And so if we want to resist colds and flus and other diseases, we need to get plenty of sunshine?
Yep, That's right. Doctor's orders.
Well, then I think it's my duty to sit back, relax, and absorb this beautiful sunshine.
Oh, I agree.
Thanks, Doc.
Welcome back to Wake Up With Hope, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is here with us to share a devotional thought.
Great to see you today. I hope your day's off to a great start. I'm really glad we have a couple of moments together. I want to share with you something that I believe will assist you today. You can put this into practice today and be blessed and benefited, no question about it. Now, there are some things that you just wish would go away. The oppressive heat, you wish that would go away. Or the long, cold winter, you can't wait for that to go away. It might be the crying child in the row behind you on the airplane, and you don't want the child to go away, but you do wish the crying would go away so that your peace and peace of mind would return. You understand what I mean. There are certain things we wish would just go away, but some things are not going to go away. Taxation is not going to go away. You wish it would, but it's not, for example. Something else, I think a little more serious, that will never go away is temptation. If only temptation would go away. But once you come to faith in Jesus, you find temptation doesn't go away. You can attend church, temptation doesn't go away. You can pray, temptation doesn't go. It doesn't go away no matter what you do, because the devil is still in business. He has taken it upon himself to tempt you in an attempt to separate you from God, to weaken your faith and have you loosen your hold on God. Now, I don't want you to confuse temptation and sin. They are two different things. It is not a sin to be tempted. The Bible says this in James 1 and verse 14. Well, let's start in verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. That's what the Bible says. James 1 verse 14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires or lusts and enticed. That's temptation. When something is tugging at you, that's temptation. It's not sin. When something appeals to you, that's not sin, that's temptation. The passage goes on to say, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. We don't want to place ourselves in the situation to be tempted. You don't want to rush in where angels fear to tread. But temptation exists. You go out, it's there. You come home, it's there. You close your eyes. Temptation can still be there. And I'm talking about temptation rather than sin. So what do you do so that you don't cave into temptation? Because you've heard all kinds of people say, the devil made me do it, or I just couldn't resist any longer, or I weakened. The devil tempted me in a weak moment. So what do you do when temptation comes? Okay, there are two verses that I'd like to share with you just to help you know that temptation doesn't have to drag you into places you don't want to go. Jude verse 24. What chapter? No, the book is the chapter. There's only one chapter. So the book of Jude verse 24, it's the book right before Revelation. It begins by saying, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. So that means that when temptation comes, God can keep you. Oh, and he will, given certain parameters. Another verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, which says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape so that you might be able to bear it. Now, you see what that said? The Bible says that there's no temptation so great that God cannot keep you from it. Now, you know that. You either knew that or you know it now, and you're saying, well, what in the world then? If this is what the Bible says, why am I not successful in the face of temptation? Why am I not doing better when temptation comes along. Jude, he can keep you from falling. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he wrote that there's no temptation so great that it's got to drag you down. So why do we struggle, do you think? Well, I'll give you the answer. One thing that you want to do when temptation comes along is not entertain the temptation. You want to fend off that temptation as quickly as possible. You don't want to play with it. You don't want to dabble with it. You don't want to get close to the edge of the cliff of temptation. Some people do that. They see how close they could get to sin. Before long, they've fallen over the edge. Years and years ago, a friend of mine told me this story. A king was interviewing prospective chariot drivers, and as part of the test, he asked them one by one, if you were my chariot driver, how close to the edge of the cliff could you get me? The first one said, oh, king, live forever. If I was your chariot driver, I'd get you to within 6 inches of the edge of that cliff. Oh, that's impressive. He asked the next one, what could you do? He said, oh, king, live forever. If I was your chariot driver, I could get you to within 3 inches of the edge of that cliff. And they all turned to the third one, and he said, oh, king, live forever. If I was your chariot driver, I'd get you as far from the edge of that cliff as I possibly could. And you know who in this story got the job. You want to stay away from temptation. One of the reasons that we struggle and suffer is that we feed our lusts so that when temptation comes along, boom, it just takes us down. If you spend all day long gazing on members of the opposite sex in a lustful fashion, and then a temptation comes across your keyboard to visit an inappropriate website, you're already so weak, you likely have no defenses or virtually no defenses. Another thing, if you're not praying, you have not been strengthened by God so that when the temptation comes along, what is there within you to resist? If you're not reading the Word of God and getting the Word of God deep into your mind, how do you think you're going to have any strength to resist temptation? The answer is, quite frankly, you won't have any strength and you won't resist the temptation. All right, here's something you need to know. The Bible says this in James 4. We were in James 1 before, but this is James 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist. Too many people don't resist the devil. They assist the devil. In the wilderness, Jesus resisted the devil. How? By quoting the Bible. It is written, he said. It is written, he said. And a third time he said, it is written, and he quoted the scriptures. And so if you resist the devil, he'll flee. You meet him with the promises of God. You meet him with the power of prayer. You meet him with a life lived for the honor of God. You meet him with a determination that you won't cave, and you do this. Let's go on and read one little bit more. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So we draw near, we submit. If you are yielded to God, Jesus is living his life in you. If you are surrendered to God, you have the power of God living in your life. So here's what you want to do. Surrender to God. Fill your mind and heart with the things of heaven. Resist in the power of Jesus. Temptation doesn't have to master you or own you today. Great to see you. Have a good day. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor John, for that inspiring message this morning.
And we're so glad that you were with us to hear it and be blessed by it. You know, we enjoyed our time together today, and as we continue, we don't want you to forget what's happening tomorrow.
Tomorrow, we will be featuring a moving segment on life's greatest privilege and the ultimate love letter. Plus, the doctor will be back to talk about charcoal poultices. If you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
We sure hope you didn't miss that. Again, that's hope.study. And we are sure our free Bible studies will be a blessing to you.
Friends, we hope you have begun this day with a smile on your face and a heart full of gratitude to God. May the Lord richly bless you in all you do today. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
Amen. But before we go, we got something to share with you. It's today's Bible promise, and it's found in Psalms chapter 23, verses 1 to 3.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake.
You know, this popular psalm is popular for a reason. It is beyond comforting and full of hope. You know, God promises to be our shepherd, our never-failing shepherd who quenches our every need.
Amen.
What a promise. What a psalm. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to begin this day knowing that we have a good shepherd that is not only leading the way, but You're also protecting us. Your eyes are upon us. You care for us. You're ready to guard us. You're ready to rescue us. You're ready to make sure that we stay on the right path. Thank You for being such a good shepherd. And today, Lord, we surrender all to You. Thank You for the hope that we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.